Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is Season 4, Episode 24 for February 14th, 2018. Joining me on tonight's panel, Killer Frog Emeritus, Wes Phelan. Hey, Wes.
Sean, how are you doing on this fine Monday day?
I'm doing well. I'd be doing better if it wasn't a Monday.
It's been a good Monday, but a cold one. I'm a little chilly out there today.
I woke up, it was 26 degrees outside. That's a little too chilly for me.
Same down here in Georgetown. Oh.
Well, I don't know what else to say. It was just one of those typical Mondays for me. So, but we'll push on. Also joining us back again is TCU Hall of Famer W.C. Nix. Hey, Dubber, welcome back.
Hey, glad to be back. You know, went on Monday night. That helped me a little bit and kind of freed me up.
So we're here to help, pal.
Hey, I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, for a lot of our normal listeners, you know, we typically record on Sunday nights. But tonight we're recording on a Monday night. So Dubber is available and we welcome him back to the podcast. Also, welcome back Shannon Brazil. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, what's going on, Sean? How's it going, buddy?
And it's going really, really well. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Believe it or not, this is the best part about my Monday, brother.
There you go. Yeah, I was going to say, this is the best part of my Monday, too. Been one of those Mondays. I won't go into it, but it's all good. Also joining us, of course, is the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, y'all.
You know, I had someone just the other day who was listening to the podcast. I think it was a couple weeks ago when we were talking about cheerleading injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they had a very similar ACL injury to you, except it wasn't from skiing. Uh-huh. It was from rollerblading.
Oh, God.
Of course, this was back in the 90s, so that was back when rollerblading was kind of big. And so I wanted to let you know, you weren't the only one who tore their ACL from that.
Are you sure he didn't use bad form on a herky jump or something like that?
No, I wish I had done it during cheerleading, but it wasn't.
No, this wasn't a male cheerleader. This was a female cheerleader, Wes.
No. The herky jump. You know what a herky is, don't you?
Why don't you enlighten us? What is a herky jump, Wes?
Okay. Boys don't do herkies.
The herky, you know, you've all seen the cheerleaders kind of go straight up and then do the splits kind of with the legs out to the side. Isn't that the herky?
Yes, except that's the toe touch.
Yeah, toe touch. Well, the guy that started it was Herkimer or something like that.
You know, you're actually right, but it's funny because men don't do the herkies anymore. Well, exactly. Now they don't.
I'm not full of hot air. I know who hurt you.
It's always some Russian.
I'm worried about you.
I know.
I'm worried about Wes, too. How do you know all this, Wes?
Oh, God. My mind is full of worthless stuff.
Yeah, he comes up with more minutia than anybody I know.
Yeah. Hey, real quick before we get started, I wanted to do a real quick shout out. I was at an event this weekend. Mike put on a 10-7 charity for fallen officers and ran into a new frog. Her parents are actually both Baylor alums, and their daughter just accepted a position to be on the women's soccer team at TCU, and her name is Peyton. Yay. Yeah, her name is Peyton Cruz. So we'd like to welcome her to the Frog family. She's from Orange Park, Florida. I think her parents are even going to try to move back to the area. And I know Coach Eric Bell is excited to see what she can do for the team. So
excellent.
A little bit of welcome on the Killer Frogs forum. And everybody should welcome her to Fort Worth. And, you know, now our parents are going to have to start wearing purple instead of green. So that
it won't hurt them. It won't.
just tell her parents, you know, it's nice to root for the good guys.
There you go.
For a change.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Plus, purple's more flattering anyway.
That's true. It's true.
Especially that when they wear that horrible neon green down there. Oh.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Burns your retinas.
So. Yeah. There's a lot of things you can call that baby puke green or. Baylor diapers. I mean, you know, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah, let's just say it looks like something from The Exorcist.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, welcome to TCU soccer. That's great. And let's just jump in tonight because we got a couple little topics we want to talk about. Let's start off with the men's win over Texas, 87-71. Did you guys get a chance to watch this?
I did.
I was there.
Dubber, you were there. How was it?
It was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, from the start to the finish, it was probably the most complete game I've seen them play. I mean, they jumped on it from the start, and they every time Texas come up with something big, we just answered right back. And you know, I tell you what was fun at the end of the game, with probably about 4 minutes left, I'd say maybe a little more. Texas knew they were beat. And the big center for them, the dude that's supposed to be in the lottery pick draft, I mean, they laid down. I mean,
really?
They laid down at the end. It was fun. You know, for me personally, I always like it when I see us beat somebody in submission and watch them lay down. And they just quit. I mean, because him and Vlad had about the same amount of points, you know, down in the paint. They were sitting there about 19 apiece. And all of a sudden, in the last 3 or 4 minutes, all of a sudden, Vlad was up to about 25, and it was because they, you know, they just laid down. I loved it. We beat them into submission. Great game.
I thought the Horns never say quit or never lay down and die. Listen, I mean, counting football and baseball and everything else, well, there's like a 50th time in a row we've beaten them. What a sport. I mean,
it feels that way.
I think we need to knock on some wood, people.
I think, aren't they supposed to be the flagship program of Texas? Yeah, there you go.
Scott's going to have
flagship of Texas.
We'll have them rallying against us.
I know it.
Not a chance. Not this year.
Was Del Conte there?
I doubt it.
Have you seen that? Somebody brought this up on the board. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Maniac. And they had a picture of Del Conte, and he just looked like he was sucking on a lemon. And they said, isn't it interesting? Every single time you ever saw a picture of Del Conte when he was at TCU and he's wearing his purple, he always had a big smile on his face. He looked like he was enjoying life. Every single picture you see out of Austin makes him look like he's just having the worst time ever.
I'm sure he likes his paycheck, but you know what? That can't be.
You keep saying that, but I got to say, you know, at some point in time, you just got to sit there and think, man, did I make the right choice?
Yeah. Well,
I get into
wait till they have a bad football season. Then he'll get the full brunt of it. It won't be fun.
Well,
even though he did not hire that guy, but they'll blame him as if he did.
Well, at this rate, he's going to be hiring a whole new coaching staff.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that might be the worst possible thing. Maybe they can tank long enough and then get rid of him before he actually makes any decent hires. But we'll see. But no, that was a really good game. And I think, W, you were right. This was kind of one of the first games I've seen them play all year long where it was no doubt whatsoever that TCU was going to win this game. They didn't let the Horns get back into the game. They didn't wait till the last couple of minutes to finally take it back over. It was TCU from the jump ball all the way to the end, and it was good to see.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it, like you said, I mean, it was a great game. We enjoyed it. You know, I mean, I was surprised a little bit. There were some empty seats here and there, but for Texas, but you know, the student section and some of the sections is really good. So anyway.
We know how that goes, Dubber. Texas doesn't travel well.
I know. It was a great win for us. So anyway, we needed that one. We just needed one that looked that good after a couple of the losses from the previous week.
Well, and you know, right now the men are in West Virginia against number 20 West Virginia. With about 12 minutes left to play in the first half, it's 13-7 Frogs.
I am watching there. We're getting a good start.
Yeah, good start. So
well, they're gonna have to. The good thing is they can play some different plays, press and ugly. I mean, they're just an ugly basketball team. I mean, but they're good. They're just ugly playing.
Ryan, what did you think about the game?
Well, thanks, Sean. I did not see it.
Yeah, let's go to you. What do you think about that?
No, I am. Yeah, it was Mike's charity, and so we were there at.
Oh, that's right. MOPAC. You said that. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We were just down the street, actually, at the MOPAC Center, getting ready for that all day long. So I was getting texts and updates, but I didn't ever have a chance to go back and watch it. So sorry to miss it, but glad to hear the crowd was good, and obviously it's great to win. So, and I'll be out there this Saturday. I think the guys play Saturday at 7, and then the women play at 2:00. So it could be, I mean, this could be like the best day ever. And if I'm not mistaken, I think volleyball has their purple white game that morning. So like you could literally go eat breakfast and spend your whole day at TCU. I can't imagine anything better than that.
Didn't they also have the alumni baseball game scheduled for the same day?
I thought it was last weekend. Was it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got my dates mixed. I know they canceled it. Was it last week?
Oh, because the weather didn't cooperate. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I need to figure that out. I missed a lot of stuff last weekend, but.
Yeah. Got my dates all confused with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that weather was nuts with the sleet and all that last weekend.
Yeah, it was really nice around here, and then suddenly just took a turn for the worse, and it's been below freezing for most of the week. So it's Texas.
It all cleared up before Monday work, you know, that's typical. But
yeah, my wife told me it's going to be 80 on Thursday, so who knows?
Yeah.
It's quite Texas. Possible. It is. It is quite possible. All right. Well, let's talk a bit about baseball.
Yeah,
baseball starting up. I know we missed the alumni game, but overall, this is shaping up to be what should be a pretty exciting year for baseball. And Ryan, why don't you walk us through a little bit about this?
Okay, so as y'all know, we have our first home game February 20th against UTA. So everybody needs to come out and support the Frogs. That will not be their opening game, but that is their opening game at home. So. They will have already have one series of wins in their pocket. So that sounds good. I think we have a fairly young team this year, but full of talent. We're shooting to go back to our fifth consecutive, sixth total World Series in Omaha. And apparently we have 28 TV slots. So if you're not in the area and can't come out and support the Frogs, you can certainly turn on your TV and tune in there and watch them. I think our top three pitchers this year, we don't have any seniors, I don't think. So it's Jared Janzik, Nick Lodolo. Y'all remember him last year? He was a freshman.
Oh, yeah.
So he's back kind of a veteran this year. And then Sean Weimer. And then
Lodolo's family made it out, I think, for almost every single home series.
California.
Yeah. All the way from California. I sat next to him at one point in time. I didn't even know who they were. And Lodolo was pitching that day. And I'm literally sitting right next to his mom. And I'm just going on about how amazing this pitcher is and how great we are to have him. And like, I guess after about 5 minutes of me fawning over him, she turns to me and she goes, that's my son.
Oh, yeah. Note to self.
I'm like,
yeah, no kidding. Glad he had a good day.
Got a man crush.
But, I'm sure that's what it sounded like. I'm reflecting on it.
I think, you know, we other than like Luke and Baker and obviously a few of the pitchers, we pretty much have a brand new infield. So not that that matters, but it'll be interesting. We'll have to learn some new names. And I don't have Skaug as the catcher anymore. He was my favorite. I have a lot of favorite baseball players.
Okay, wait, Ryan. You already told us you do this during football season.
No, I don't do it. Rima does it.
Oh, Rima. But you picked Boson this last time. Do you have a baseball player who's your favorite?
Well, it was Skaug last year. He won like the FCA award, and he's just such a good catcher. I don't know. He's just I don't know. I liked him a lot. I like all of them. I mean, they all have their own personalities. That whole team is just great. But this year, I don't know. I'll have to get back to y'all on that. Who's going to be my favorite this year? But I don't know. We'll see. I do like Nick Lodolo. He's fun. He's well, so quirky.
I think Schlossnagel said we have as many new players as we do returning players, which I think was 13 on each end of that. So. You know, I mean, second base, third base, shortstop, they're all going to be new. Center field, catcher. I mean, where catcher's already in place, but, you know, he's first year of start.
Yeah.
And then the starting lineup on the weekends is one of the best in college baseball. I mean, this is going to be a good season.
Got to keep Luke and Baker healthy. We'll see him on first base.
Yeah. And I really hope Landis Doy gets a little more playing. That's one of my favorite players.
Oh my gosh. Yes, of course. He is actually my favorite. I love that guy. He's always smiling. He is so talkative. Like, you take the players through and they walk, you know, they sign their autograph or they autograph the posters.
Yeah.
That kid, he like engages with you, asks real questions. Like, they're all great. And Luke and Baker's the same way, but like, they're not shy. I just remember being kind of shy in college. And those kids, Schlossnagel does a good job with them, getting them to be pretty awesome kids in that dugout. Yeah.
Speaking of good, awesome, did you see, I'm sure everybody's seen the new baseball video, Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Do yourself a favor. That's one of the best they've ever done.
Yeah.
Absolutely spectacular. And I showed it to a friend of mine whose son just dying to get an offer from TCU. And, you know, I mean, he said, you think you can call Coach Schlossnagel and put in a good word for us? I can do it, but I don't know if we're doing it good. But, you know, I mean, yeah, they just can't wait. They're hoping he's a good baseball player. He'd be a middle infielder, but.
He better be a great baseball player.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you seen their recruiting classes?
Oh,
we talked about that before. You know, we talk about Patterson. We talk about what Coach Dix is doing. And go look at the dang baseballs.
Yeah.
Recruiting classes. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think it's safe to say, you know, you hear Patterson – or not Patterson, but you hear the word – Schlossnagel use the word elite quite a bit in some of the players. And I think it's safe to say we're one of the elite programs now. And I don't think I'm overstepping my bounds in saying that. I think this is one of the elite baseball –
That's not something safe to say. That is a fact.
That's a fact.
Four World Series in a row is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Five in the last 7 years.
Total, yeah.
To put it in words, this is a damn good team and a damn good program. And, you know, we have high expectations for them. And so far, knock on wood, they keep the bar set high, and they keep getting up to that level and raising the bar even higher. And I think the potential's there to do it again this year.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great. Five straight trips to the College World Series. My gosh.
I mean, like they say, six times a charm.
That's right.
I don't mind. I love Omaha. I love going back to Omaha. If this team can make it to Omaha, that's fantastic. But they keep defying the odds each and every year, and it just endears them to me even more.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to get to. That's a hard goal to reach.
Yeah,
but they keep doing it.
Well, anybody who's been to a regional or super regional and knows how that format works, I mean, it's crazy. Oh, it is a very brutal schedule.
Especially the way we like to do it. Last year, they were good to us. They were good to us fans. We didn't have any 2 or 3 o'clock 18-inning games. But
21-inning games.
2 and 3 years were, oh, my gosh, like heart failure central in those stands, especially against those Aggies. Holy moly.
You know, I had a meeting this afternoon at 5:30, and one of the guys in it was an Aggie, and I said, "How's your baseball team?" And I'm, as you can see it, but the people out there, I'm wearing my purple vest, and he said, "You're a TCU fan?" He said, "You've broken our damn hearts for the past 4 years." I said, "Well, we're shooting for our fifth year too, you know, so don't get your hopes up, pal."
That really warms my heart to hear that.
Yeah, well,
anytime I could break any Aggie's heart, I'm all for.
Makes my world all that much better.
They don't want any piece of TCU in baseball. I've talked to a lot of their fans. They're like, "You just keep your damn team away from us. We don't want to see you regional, super regional, College World Series. We don't want to see you at all. Any bracket that we're in, we don't want to see you."
I really hope they don't put us in the same bracket as them next year. I mean,
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, now the good thing is, and we covered this before, they've changed it now. So the committee is going to be placing double the seeds. So hopefully we won't have that again. Hopefully they'll know to kind of keep some of these teams in different brackets.
Yeah.
Again, that matchup against Tech too.
That's if we make it back to the postseason, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knock on wood. So I'll just
knock on wood.
On wood.
There you go. That's it. Fills some Killer Frog's wood he's knocking on, folks.
Yeah.
It's true.
Piece of flooring. Splinters every time I pick it up. I'm going to have something different over here. Yeah, so baseball's looking good. I think it's going to be great. By the time you hear this podcast next week, we'll have already played a couple of games. And, you know, it's going to be a really fun season. Regardless of how these guys finish, you know they're going to be in it, and it's going to be a great thing to watch. So if you get a chance, make it out to Lupton this season. Make it out there several times this season, because it's going to be something to watch. Well, moving on, let's kick back to football a little bit, because we did have a little thing called National Signing Day that happened last week, and we had some recruits. But I know everybody's kind of rehashing all the recruiting and everything, but we want to talk a little bit about, let's look ahead to spring training and some of these position battles that are shaping up. And Shannon, first off, what do you think about this recruiting class, and what do you think are going to be some of the more heated battles come spring?
I'm excited about this class. I mean, anytime that you say that, you know, this is the best grade of group of kids we've ever had, and we've graded out the way we graded out, we're starting to get there. It's exciting. One of the things I'm excited about is this spring football is the quarterback position. You know, getting a five-star guy in there, competing with a young Robinson. It's going to make for an exciting spring. As you guys know, everything's built around the quarterbacks. I mean, the quarterback play, they're usually the leaders of the team. They're the ones the defense rally around, you know, the offense, the quarterback. And when the quarterback's struggling, especially our defense, we've got to step up and play. So to see high-level competition this spring between those two guys is going to be exciting. And I think it's just going to trickle down to all the other spots that's open for the taking, if you will. You know, with losing so many seniors, it's anybody's job. I mean, some people have, you know, their jobs are safe, but when you have five-star, four-star athletes coming in, they're not coming in trying to sit the bench. Trust you me, I remember coming in, you know, smelling myself. I was definitely not trying to sit the bench. I was trying to play, but I had a great Scott Taft in front of me, so I ended up being second string my first year, and I started 3 years after that. And I'm thinking these guys are going to be the same way. They're ready to play right now, which makes for good competition, and ultimately it's going to make our team better.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, let me tell you, Rodgers. Sorry, go ahead, Dubber.
I was going to say, you know, I've seen what Sean Robinson did in high school, and you've seen him a little bit in college. But I haven't seen Justin Rodgers except on film. And I will tell you, I saw him at the a camp. He just came in, and he comes down, and all of a sudden they slid him into the throwing drills. And let me just tell you can talk about – anybody's arm you want to, but I promise you, there ain't nobody that's got an arm like this kid. I mean, he was unbelievable. He threw some passes. I mean, I was like, he was throwing some outs, and he was throwing – I'm telling you, when he hit some of the kids, I was like, I thought he was going to take them off their feet. I mean, he has got an arm. I mean, you know.
He's got a rocket for sure.
He's got a rocket. Now, if he can contain that cannon, you know, you got to be able to make all the throws. You got to know when to – right. Be a little softer and a little, you know, when to throw it. But he's got the passing tree. There won't be no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing to be is if he gets back in time with the knee. But you know, unless I think this spot will be open all the way until the first game. I think Patterson will let it compete all the way, because I think he'll want to let Rodgers get his knee totally well, and I think he thinks he's healthy, and I really do too, because I think, like you said, you get two guys that expect to be out there, and they're going to compete. They are definitely going to compete. So I'm excited about that too.
Is he pretty nimble on his feet? I mean, can he run?
what I saw was his hurt knee, but the films I saw, he considers himself a passer first. But don't get me wrong, he looks like one heck of an athlete.
Wow.
I mean, he's something else. I mean.
Yeah, it's rare to find a dual threat quarterback who's passing first, running second. Because a lot of those guys will kind of the passing is okay, but the running is what really kind of opens up the game for him. He wants to drop back, he wants to drill a ball into a window and make a completion. And then if it's not there, he'll make it happen with his legs. But it's going to be interesting to see, because between Robinson, I mean, both these guys are it's going to be a battle all spring long between the two of them.
Yep.
It's going to be healthy, man. God, that's fun. Just think about that. When, as a let's think about it. When's the last time in spring we had a battle at that position between two gunslinger, two runners, two guys that just, just athletic, talented? When?
Yeah, you're right.
And so of this magnitude anyway. So yeah. It's going to be exciting. Again, Robinson now has the edge just because of his year of knowledge under coach, under the team, and backing up Hill, and his experience coming in the Texas Tech game and some of the ones I think he played down in Oklahoma and did really well. So he has that experience and confidence going in. And at this point, it's his. But I'm telling you, that young guy's coming in, he's not going to give it to him. He's just not going to give it to him.
One thing I do like is I think the deep ball will come back into our game because I think both of them can throw it, and I think they can both throw it proficiently. But then, as we're talking about some of the recruits, some of the receivers we got coming back, but then some of the receivers that we signed, I don't know if the kid for Texarkana, I can't remember his name. Let me tell you, go look at his highlight film. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. And he's not a little kid. He's 6'2", and he is something else. I'm like, wow, So I'm excited about this.
Guy's awesome.
I am excited about the young kids. I guarantee it.
Well, I agree with you, Deborah. I think we'll finally see the deep pass again. I think this will kind of harken back a little bit to the 2014 Peach Bowl team where we had, you have Doxson and you've got, Mr. Lawsuit on the field where we're just passing the ball. And we're Ryan.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
They both start with L. Anyway, so I think you're right. I think we'll actually see the passing game kind of come back. And I love Kenny Hill, and Kenny Hill was great, and I thought he was great. But that was one area of his game that was a little bit underwhelming was his ability to consistently pass deep. Yeah. And I think both these guys have the arms to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, I think if you put him,
you gotta be able to bring
the quarterbacks and Jalen Reagor, then and Trevaylon Sun out there on the flanks. I mean, my God, Rager's already shown that nobody can keep up with him. And if Hunt's the same guy, and then they've got Omar Manning, who was injured last year, who's supposed to be every bit as good as anybody else. I mean, it's a pretty deep receiving core. Now we got to catch the ball, run the routes, and get open and do what a receiver does. But, man, I'm telling you what, on paper, it's an impressive-looking group of people.
Hey, Shannon, what were you saying?
Well, we were talking about Kenny. I was just like, it's hard to get a ball down the field when you don't follow through and you got that half-cocked little thing he does. I just couldn't stand it. It killed me. I'm like, dude, follow through and throw the damn ball down the field. But, he was good with the out route. Give him that.
Because of that, you're right. Because of that, the one big thing I had against Kitty, like I said, I never took away from his effort, never took away from trying hard, but we totally took away the middle of the field and the deep ball because he couldn't do it consistently. And if you're going to throw the middle of the field, you got to be consistent. And he just couldn't be either way. Well, you saw in the last game, that first series or two. I mean, my goodness, I was like, of course, then they got smart and they started running him and he started getting a little confidence and stuff like that. But I think these two quarterbacks are going to be, that's what you hope is when one of them steps out on the field, you're going to think, wow, we might be saying, hopefully, well, Boykins was good, Andy was good, but these two cats right here. He's unbelievable. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, let me ask you guys. Let me ask the panel here. Break out your crystal ball for me because this season you saw Coach didn't redshirt Robinson, brought him in and had him as Hill's backup as a true freshman. Do you think he's going to do the same thing for Rodgers if he doesn't win the starting position?
Depends on if he's ready or not. I don't think Patterson. It's kind of like. Like Shannon said, you got a 4-star athlete, 5-star that was a 5-star, and he's right there on the fringe of being a starter. He don't want to be redshirted, and I don't think they can afford to. I think that, hey, this quarterback battle might go a little bit into the season. I'm not even so sure of that.
Well, think about it, guys. To your let's use another scenario. We're deep in a season, and we're winning, and something happens. I don't wish none on anybody, but we need him to come in and play. I mean, he needs to be ready, and at that level, he's got to be able to pick up where he left off. Super Bowl, right? We need him ready. If that's going to be our guy, that's going to be our guy. He's got to come in and play. Even if they rotate, hey, think about it. They may do the whole dual thing because they're both talented. We may throw, this may be an offensive strategy because we have two guys that deserve to be on the field at the same time. So what do you do? So it could be good for us down the line. But Red Sheridan, I don't think so. I'll do my early stage vote and say no. I think
The only way is if his knee's not ready.
Yeah.
That's the wild card right there.
Yep.
That's the wild card.
Do you think we keep them both after next year? Or do you think one transfers so we can go play? Because they're both deserve to be starting quarterbacks. Clearly, one of them's not going to be,
Well, you let that stuff work itself out. I mean, because you say they deserve to both be started. I mean, if one comes out and plays great, the other one didn't play great,
it's football.
It's football. That's right. I don't necessarily look at it. I mean, every year you're talking about quarterback, but it happens on the offensive line, the defensive line, linebacker. There's always one that starts and one that's behind them. Yeah. I mean, that's just a fact of life. I mean, whether they agree with it or this or that, I'm not saying that somebody might not transfer, but that happens everywhere.
Let's do the business side of this, guys, from every aspect, from coaches recruiting him, knowing what they have, from him coming in, knowing what's there. This is a business, right? I mean, he understands that best man will win. Somebody's got to start. Somebody's got to come in. Mm-hmm. And these are things you discuss and you think about getting recruited, right, from his standpoint.
Yep.
Hey, there's a guy. He knows that guy just won a state championship 2 years ago, whatever it was. He's going there. I'm pretty sure he's done his homework. And just as he would have to do anywhere else. So coming in, competing or losing a job and then wanting to transfer because, I just think that's right?
I think he probably expects to not play as much this first year. But then when Robinson is a junior and he's a sophomore, that's going to be the real battle.
It might be a battle all 4 years. You never know.
That because when you have a backup that is just as talented and just as hungry, that makes the starter even better.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, this is what I love about him. He knew he had a 4-star quarterback, like Shannon said, that was a state champion, and he never batted an eye. He said never wavered. In fact, he was the best recruiter that TCU had out there this year, probably. Him and his mom and all them.
His mom, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you. So I respect that. I like that. I like a kid that thinks like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it tells you.
If you're listening and you're thinking we're complaining, these are great issues we're having. We're not complaining.
They are.
That's exactly right.
We've never had this conversation before.
That's exactly right.
This is an embarrassment of riches, is what this situation is.
It's a personal problem.
And from a TCU fan, this is like, this is fantasy land, We're playing with house money at this point. This is fantastic. So
no doubt.
Yeah. No, I don't see him transferring. I think he is.
No, I would honestly, I wouldn't think he would. I would think, I mean, by the way, everybody's talking, everybody thinks Rogers is probably a little bit more talented than Robinson, but I would see Robinson maybe being the one. If I were to bet on it, I would think that Rogers would be the one to stay, but
well, let me tell you, I don't think either one of them. I mean, I think, I think they're both confident kids, and I think both of them think they're going to win the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I do, too.
That's what I love about it.
That's good.
And Robinson ain't no slouch.
No.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we don't protect them with this group of guys we got coming in, I guess we can transition to the whole line.
We might need both of them.
You're right.
What is going on with y'all?
Need to talk about that.
Well, the biggest thing is we'll be young. I mean, I'm glad we signed the big JUCO kid, but we're going to be young in some spots, and in our less game wise young, and so you know, the bad thing about it is, well, the good thing about it is really is we do have a defense that push them. So I think that's an advantage for us at least, but still it's hard, you know, until they get there and get battle tested a few games, you know, I mean, they're going to be young. And I would say this, I mean, I feel good about it, but at the end of the year, we potentially have the chance to have a better offensive line. At the first year,
going to be rough.
I'm a little leery just because, you know, they're going to be young. But I will say this, we got a dang good offensive line coach.
Yeah.
Because if you looked at what our offensive line was 2 years ago and 3 years ago, there was a lot of people I was frustrated. And all of a sudden, they get an offensive line coach.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, we become a lot better. We became a lot better. So, you know, in college, still. And then an offensive line, and Shannon knows this, but an offensive line, they're a little goofy group. You got to get individuals. You got to play good as an individual, but you got to play good as five guys too. And if one guy doesn't play good, and that takes a good coach, and I think he does a good job. So I feel good about it. I just think we're going to be young. We're going to be on a learning curve.
Well, no, yeah. Dover, you mentioned that the junior college kid, Anthony McKinney from Iowa Western. He's an intriguing to me. 6'8", 330. That's a big guy.
Yeah.
Four-star. He was a 12th – nationally, he was a 12th best junior college player, according to 247. At the offensive tackle position, he was a third best JUCO offensive tackle in the country and the first and number one in the state. So, I mean, this, you know, he kind of gets your juices flowing a little bit just seeing his size and his stats. And one thing I read, you know, that he's got great lateral movement. So getting out the, you know, on the edge to protect a little bit is not a big issue for him. And then, but he's the kind of guy, if he gets his hands on you, then, you know, you're not going past him. You know, so that would be great because some of these defensive players we face are pretty big guys themselves. So it'll be interesting. We have a lineman like that that can just shove him around a little bit. And I'm looking forward to him.
The good thing about the JUCO guys, anytime you get JUCOs, and I like the way Patterson gets these JUCO guys, especially in years where we lose a lot of people because they've got the experience. They come in and they have that down. Now it's about learning the system, like get the system down. Once they have the system down, it's like, you know, they're not going to miss a beat because they've been playing and maturing for the last 2 years. So those guys are like, I call them glue guys, man, because they can come in and anything that's, if they're a hell of a player and they learn the system and the young guys can kind of latch on to it and go along with the ride because it's, you know, new to TCU.
But there's one thing
They're
in JUCO for a reason, and sometimes it's because they need a little time to mature. Sometimes it's because their grades weren't so good. So I don't know what the situation is with him, but I can't wait to get him on campus. Oh, he's there now.
That could be the case. Yeah. Well, I remember Curtis Fuller was a JUCO guy, and he had the grades. He was a smart individual. I think he just wanted to start small and keep it small at the time, because TCU was still small at the time. But he was a hell of a player and went on to NFL. And I think he's still coaching in the NFL. So it just depends on – you're right. Most of the guys they didn't get the grades or they just – you know, they needed to mature. But if we can get over here and we got us a good apple, I'm telling you, those guys are usually good fillers for a team, especially on the offensive defensive side of the ball.
Hey, Wes, Dubber, do you guys know, is McKinney, does he play right or left side of the line?
This is play either.
Either. Okay. Well, that's good.
They said he can play either. I mean, what I saw, I mean, what I've read about him, they said they'll see where his best fit is, but he could definitely cover the blind side. But they also said he could play either. So that's good because not everybody can play either. You know, used to in the old days, you could play both sides. And a lot of these kids now, I mean, they start out playing left guard, and they play left guard.
Yeah, what did you play, Dever? What side did you play?
I actually played center and both guards. I played almost split between the two guards and center. I mean, I played center about half my career, and then I played both guards about half my career.
Now, you're right-handed, aren't you?
Yep, but I'm left-footed.
Left footed.
That
you,
is true.
You took it away from me. I was.
That is the truth.
he got it. He felt it coming.
Man, that was a softball. Right there.
Man, you walked all over my. I'm done. I'm done. It's been a great night, folks.
Oski.
Oh, well, are there any other positions you guys think are going to be some major battles going into the spring?
Well, you know, we got to replace a quarterback and a pretty good linebacker. I mean, you know, so we've got some – and defensive end, too. There's going to be some stuff. And we got, you know, of course, Matt Boson's, you know, graduated, but we've got Brandon Bowen and
– Banigou's, you know, coming back.
So Banigou. So the Killer Bees have a chance to keep going. I'm a little worried about the cornerback with Tejada graduating, but, you know, he graduated. We did recruit a big 6'2" cornerback, which I know that Patterson likes to have to match up against those taller receivers. Trevon Morig, I hope I don't mess up his name, Woodard, out of Smithson Valley. 6'2", that's a pretty good size for a cornerback. And so, you know, I don't know. And he is signed. He's not enrolled yet, so he'll have to do a lot of learning on the fly when he gets here. But that's going to be interesting to watch what happens with cornerbacks, because Tejada was pretty good. I mean, they didn't throw to his side for a reason, because he had those guys covered. And that'll be interesting to see what happens with him. And and also
6'2".
Yeah, Travon Howard. My gosh, that's a pretty big loss. Wasn't he TCU's all-time tackle leader or something like that? Or,
yep.
He was, you know, it's a big shoe to fill. I heard something interesting today that we've signed we're not really signing him. I don't think he's got a scholarship, but he's walking on. A kicker from Germany is coming in.
Wow.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Germany. Big leg.
Oh, I wrote it down. Let's see here. His name is where did I write it here? Falser. Hang on a minute. Falser Spieler.
Oh.
Okay.
What's what's his story? I feel like I've heard of him before.
Falser Spieler, or maybe Falser. There's not an umlaut over the A, but he's the stats I found were in centimeters, because they don't use inches over there, but he's 187.96 centimeters and 81.65 kilograms. So, which means he's 6'2", 180 pounds. He's been on the German army, and he's a rugby player, but apparently he's got good enough leg to warrant a shot at American football. So we'll see what happens.
Man, sounds interesting. Sounds like he has a very big leg.
Back, right?
Maybe he'll bring some of that army attitude over here.
Oh, man.
Well, the good thing about the football team in general is there's enough open spots this year. It's going to make it fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's, you know. But I think we got enough coming back that makes it – we got a good core, too.
Yeah, you know, this will be a really exciting purple-white game. When do we usually play that, in March? Is that usually – when's the spring game usually happen?
Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
And we got a German kicker now.
Yeah.
And so only do West you think we'll have German flags?
Maybe so. You never know.
Well, I'm not going to stand – if they put Deutschland über alles, I'm not going to stand for that. But, you know, I'm kidding. I'm sure they'll give him a fair shot to win a job, but, you know, you never know.
Oh, geez.
I mean, he's a rugby player. I mean, come on.
He's going to be tough.
At least he's tough.
Shannon's crying.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He might be my favorite player, Wes. I might pick him for my favorite player this year.
Well, you might want to wait and see what he can do in action. But, you know,
anybody from Germany is going to be pretty cool.
He's never had a bunch of big linemen coming at him on a rush or anything.
Yeah, but didn't you say he's in the German army?
He's in the German army. So,
all right,
you know,
surely he ain't worried about a bunch of guys running at him. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, he probably had bullets thrown at him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Can't wait for that one.
That's what I love about Wes. He'll bring them things out of left field so quick.
My man.
Oh, me.
Just ready for the thread to start on the forum about our new German kicker. Say his name one more time, Wes. Maybe we should spell it.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah. You spell check.
I don't know. How many umlauts are in that name, Wes?
No umlauts. Okay. You know, the person that gave me his name, I just I wrote it down. It's spelled Falscher. That's Falscher. And his last name is Spieler.
I'm pretty sure if you hear him come out of my mouth, it's going to be German kicker. And I won't be able to say his name. I'm just old country boy, and I'll just brutalize that name. So German kicker will be my deal.
Hey, fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh man, we're good at giving nicknames in locker room. Law first day. First day, brother.
Okay.
Somebody else take it.
John, you're running this show. We've about lost control.
He left us speechless after that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost it after Wes started converting everything to metric.
I mean, come on. If you've ever been to Europe, I mean, we're the only country that uses inches. You go over there, everything's in centimeters and kilograms.
That makes perfect sense, Wes.
Absolutely.
Perfect sense. How do you spell his name again?
That's what it said on the roster. So what can I say? 187.9 centimeters, 81.65 kilograms.
187 point. Okay. All right.
Do the math.
How old is he? Is he like a 25-year-old?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Didn't have his age.
Really, Ryan? That's going to be your question?
Yeah, that's going to be my question.
Sean, you've lost total control of this podcast.
I lost control a long time, Deborah. I never had control. It was all
just... All right, come on, y'all.
It was an illusion.
We got a podcast.
I mean, Shannon, I think he fell off the screen.
He has to go dry his eyes. Oh, man.
Hey, Wes, does he have a huddle video?
I didn't see one. Okay. You know, I'll look around.
You know what we need to do? We need to have, what's his name? Hans and Franz and what is it?
German kicker.
We need to get him on our podcast. I'm telling you, I'm going to work on that. Maybe expensive to call him, but we're going to get him on our podcast.
Maybe if we call Larry Burdine, maybe he can hook us up.
I bet he can.
That's a good idea. All right.
Just make sure you go to the right channels. I don't want us all be in trouble. I don't want to have to start distancing already from y'all. I just got back.
Well, and on that note, am I leaving anything off tonight? Was there anything anybody else wanted to talk about?
All in all, guys, great recruiting class coming in. We'll leave that. I think it's going to be a fun spring. You know, usually we can't wait to football starts again because the spring is not too exciting, but I think it'll be very exciting this year. I'm going to be around for sure, and as much as Patty will have me, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it starts here in a couple of weeks. I guess around the 1st of March, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's right around the corner, man.
They get 15 practices. I guess right now they're going through lifting and have you had Night of the Frog yet?
They had it last week, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are interesting. You've never been to one. That's an interesting thing they do, and I'm glad they let people in to see that because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are. They're exciting.
Well, all right.
What you bench, Shannon? You did 210, didn't you? Is that right? Or
no, I was I benched 275 my senior year, and I squatted over 675 pounds, brother.
who was that guy we had?
What's crazy squat? About what?
But we had somebody squat 900
Victor
pounds.
My time is Victor Payne, but he was a power lifter, and they cut him off. They cut him off because they couldn't put any more weights on the butt. They cut him off, and they added an extension on there, and it was full with 40. And they cut him off. It was crazy. He would have squatted 1,000 pounds easily.
He's a man mountain. I mean, that Victor Payne.
Oh
my God!
Yeah, he is.
I hate to hit that guy because all that. Just think about having to hit him in the hole, and that was my guy. Like he was responsible for chipping on me, and man, Wes, if he got his hands on you, you were done. So I mean, I used to club him, and man, I tell him, don't touch me like that in practice. It's almost violated, man. Oh, Val, don't do that. Guy was strong, man.
Oh, he's just a big old teddy bear.
That's one of those you got to have that conversation when. He violated you guys like, hey man, that's not right. Don't do that out here in front of all these men.
I remember meeting him a couple of years ago on one of our bus trips, and I, you know, he's lost a lot of weight. He looks really good. But I remember he was just square. He was about as tall as wide as he was tall. And
dumb.
Oh my God. But he looks really good now. But I bet he could still suit up and knock you in the next week if he wanted to.
Yeah, I'd rather play against him now than back then.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, we are just under an hour here, so unless there's anything else anybody wants to talk about, I say we just go ahead and wrap it up right now. How about you?
Well, it sounds good to me.
Can I get one more update on the basketball game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want it up? Yeah. You want an update? Sorry, hold on. I had closed that window because. It was
Shannon. Whoops. I thought Shannon was looking at it.
Was Shannon looking at it?
I was, and I went to my recruiting page.
Oh, okay.
I had to pull the stuff up I had ready for it, but until then, I was watching the game.
Halftime, West Virginia is coming back
38-27. Oh, heck.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
We
down by catch it live.
Don't forget
ESPN
to come out on Saturday. PNN. Boys play at
7.
Girls play at 2.
Yep.
Perfect day if you're a Frog fan.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, hopefully the men will come back and pull it out in the second half here against West Virginia. But yep. I think we'll call that a night on the podcast. We want to thank everybody who's listening to us out there. The podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You can also find us on social media. We are on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs, @killer_frogs. Or you find us on Facebook at facebook.com/killerfrogs. Or you can also go to killerfrogs.com and sign up for a free account and just go ahead and talk TCU Athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast, and it's the time where we all say,
go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs. Wes, German kicker.
He's totally
going to
be a
alive.
German
kicker.
Hey, years ago, let me tell you a story.
You're like a 3-4 second tape delay.
Years ago, I'll tell y'all a story. Years ago, when Billy Tubbs, the basketball coach.
Hey, this for you were born probably, Shannon, but go ahead now, Wes.
Billy Tubbs, a basketball coach, and we lost an assistant, and everybody was grousing about we need to get an assistant in there. So I created a fake basketball coach and brought him in, and he was there about a month, and then he left to take a job at North Texas, okay? And then this is true. I'm not lying to you about this. Then we killed him off. Okay, so he was there about a month, and he died, and people from North Texas are reading our board. They were all excited because they stole one of Billy Tubbs' prize of coaches. And then we killed him off. We did it right during July when all the sports information people are on vacation, and people were sending sympathy cards and flowers to the athletic department.
Because
of the loss of his coach.
I'm curious, Wes, how did you kill him off? What was the method?
God, I don't really remember, but he was the all-time, he was the all-time shot blocking leader at Duquesne University, and he coached at a junior college in Pennsylvania, and Tubbs brought him in because he loved JUCO guys. And then he never even set foot on the court at TCU to coach a player and took a job at North Texas. And then maybe he died in a car crash. I don't know, but we killed him off.
Oh, we're all going to hell.
And I heard from somebody there. Oh, I'll tell you what it was. Who was the guy? Steve Fink, I think, was our sports information director back then.
I remember that name.
And I was talking to him once, and he said, I told him about it. And he said, do you know North Texas was calling us up saying, who the hell is this guy? Because we're getting sympathy cards and flowers sent to us.